The psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we often say that, don't we? We often, my mother used to have that saying in the house when my brother and I were knocking lumps off each other. And she would stand back in the way that only she could and wring her hands together and say how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it was a wee bit funny at the time. But it's a beautiful statement. And it's one we could probably all say amen to. And the psalmist goes on though, and he says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down upon the skirts of his garment. And I wasn't sure what that really meant, but I'm inclined to think, you know, that when Aaron's ointment, the ointment went on to Aaron, it came down through and covered his whole body. And it sanctified and it dealt with the whole of his, it covered him. And there was a whole blessing to the whole body to be found from that ointment. And that's, I think, what the psalmist is saying to us and what we need maybe to learn ourselves. When we dwell together in unity, there is a whole blessing. There's a whole advantage to the whole assembly in that. And it's good maybe to stand and overlook an assembly, possibly, as we might want to do sometimes, and say how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But why we want to dwell together in unity? Well, it's consecration of the whole body that we need. It's the whole body of Christ, the whole of the assembly here, that's going to get the benefit from dwelling together in unity. He says it's as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. Well, unity is like that refreshing stream which comes down from Hermon, like the dew. Now, the dew, I suppose, I went to look up a wee bit about the dew, and of course in that particular area of the world the dew is a very important thing. We have loads and loads of rain here and everything's refreshed by the rain, but of course there the dew is heavy and it's refreshing in a dry land. We look out round about into the world, it's a very dry land, and unity we can find refreshment from. We can find a blessing from because of the refreshment of that dew which flows down from Hermon, from that highest of the mount of that day. But I thought to myself, I wonder what this word unity really means. You look up the dictionary, and it's quite worthwhile sometimes just looking up the dictionary to find out what things mean. It's also worthwhile to find out what other the Bible dictionaries have to say about things as well. The dictionary just said oneness. The arrangement of all the parts to the one purpose and effect. And I thought that was quite useful. I hadn't noticed it before. I'd never thought about that before. The arrangement of all the parts. Now here we are, we're all the parts. Some of us have not been able to be here, of course. Some folks are elderly, some folks are ill, some folks have got children to look after. But the arrangement of all the parts to the one purpose or effect. And I think that word speaks for itself. And when the psalmist was talking about this unity, I don't know if he was thinking forward to the brethren of today. I'm sure the Lord was thinking of the brethren today. And I'm sure the Lord was thinking of the brethren in Kennery when he wants us to dwell together in unity. All going the same direction. All doing the same, having the same desire and all the same purpose and the same effect. If you go to Strong's Concordance, of course, you'll find some different meanings. Now, I've got a good copy of Strong's Concordance and I looked it up. And it has got some strange meanings, this word, unity. It just says, alike, is one of them.
thought to myself, I wonder what that really means, huh?
You know, obviously there's some obvious thing. Look, we're all got the same desires and that. We've got a like desire. But the word is used in the when David in 1 Samuel, he goes into battle and he says to the people, those who go down into the battle and those that stay by the stuff will be divided to alike. In chapter 8. 1 Kings in chapter 8. Verse 30. 1 Kings in chapter 8 and verse 30, and we're breaking into Solomon's prayer. And here's what he says, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of all thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. And if any man trespass against his neighbour, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Over to Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And finally, in the last book in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, Malachi in chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. And God will add a blessing to us tonight to the reading of his holy word. And I'm going to say to you tonight, I want to speak to you as a brother in the Lord. I want to speak to you without hurt. And I don't want to be seen as someone who is trying to put forward a particular viewpoint and haven't really seen it myself. Because today, in these last few days, when we've been reading through these verses that we've read together, it's very clear that the Lord needs to speak to us. And when we read in 1 Kings in chapter 8, we read a very important thing, I think. Solomon says this very simply, and I don't want to take too much more from 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon says something very simply. He said, hear thy servant and thy people. As far as God is concerned, there's no difference today between his servants and his people. He wants us all to hear what he has to say to us. And it's very clear to me from what we've read together that God needs to speak to us as a people here in Kennedy. God needs to work upon our hearts, and he wants to give us a blessing. Now, I suppose at this time of year, we often would say to folks, every blessing in the new year. We write it on our Christmas cards, and we'll sometimes say to people, God's richest blessing to you. And sometimes that trips off our tongues pretty quick. And sometimes we really don't mean it at all. But today, when we read God's word, the subject of our meeting tonight is the blessing of the Lord, and the first meeting of these three meetings that Robert and John and I are going to present to you. The first one says the pathway to blessing. Now, I find it quite hard to deal with this because Robert tomorrow night is going to speak on a subject called the prevention of blessing, I think his subject is. And when you read what God asks us to do in order to get the pathway to blessing, it's very easy to see yourself as the person who's standing in the way. It's very easy to see yourself as an individual who's keeping back the blessing. And so I look with anticipation to what Robert has to say to us tomorrow night from the very inside of heaven. There are three things which we're going to think about. We're going to think about confession of sin in 1 Kings. We're going to think about unity. And we're going to think about giving God his place and giving what's his due to him. These are the three areas. Now, I take this as the subject matter was brought up by Fraser, and he asked us to speak on this particular subject. He presented that subject to us. Other folks have thought about that these meetings and that they should take place, and it becomes quite difficult, and I'm trying to be honest with you folks tonight, it becomes quite difficult to take up somebody else's subject. But I have really thoroughly been encouraged by taking up this subject. I found out things about God that I didn't know before. I found out things about me that I didn't want to know. And I want, if it's possible, with the help of God tonight, just to help us in finding ourselves in the place where we want to be, and that is receiving the blessing of God. I suppose you could say that if we were to say what we miss most and what we need most today from God Himself, it's His blessing. We need it. I'm sure that we could say, if we continue the way we are, without knowing the blessing of God in our midst, we'll be shutting the door before very long. I believe that's the case. And I don't like to think of that at all for Kenway, because I've been here for over 25 years now, and I don't like to think of that at all. But we must have the blessing of God in our midst. Now, we often think, I suppose, of the blessing of God being souls being saved. And that's really often where we've lifted our eyes past something to the product of the blessing of God. But we need to have the blessing of God in our own hearts and minds. And we need to enjoy the blessing of God in our own selves before we'll ever see folks really getting saved and coming into the fellowship of the assembly. If the Lord be not come, there's a future for Kenway Assembly, and that is through the blessing of God upon us today. And so these chapters that we've read together, these verses that we've read together, the Lord says, the servant says, Solomon says this, he says, hearken to thy servant and to thy people. And so first of all, we notice that Solomon is praying. He's praying for blessing. He requires it. He wants it. And he's looking for the people to be changed. Now, it may well have been that not all the people noticed there was a need for change. But I get the impression, really, that there was some kind of desire amongst the people, as well as of Solomon himself, to see a change amongst the people, and that they noticed it was required. And so today, it's important for us, as the people of God, to notice if there's a need for change in ourselves, individually and collectively, in the things that we do. And the servant of God here, Solomon, he realizes that the requirement is to confess our sins. Now, that is a hard place to be, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you find that easy. I certainly don't find that easy, because the first thing we have to understand, if we're going to confess our sins, is that we're sinning and we're not right before God. And that's a hard place to be for Christians, because we're quite happy to tell people outside about that. And we all have got this ability, and I'm no different from anybody else. It's good to think about sinners and how they can be saved, and telling them about their need for salvation. But it's also worthwhile, it's also useful, it's also necessary for us to look into our own hearts and to look into our own selves and to see that inside of us there's no blessing. And there's no going to be any blessing as far as people are getting saved are concerned if that's not the case. And throughout these verses, Solomon puts forward some things which are, he says, some of us have been smitten down before the enemy. And so on and so forth. We're maybe bowing to the power of the enemy. I don't know if that's what you take from that, but that's what I kind of took from that as I read through it. We've kind of bowed to the power of the enemy in our own personal lives. And so, Solomon prays before God, and we need to be praying before God. Individually, we need to come before Him and we need to confess our sin. Now, we're not going to spend too long, because I realise that these meetings are no set for to go on for ages preaching. I want just to cover some very short, simple points. And at the end of it, there was going to be rain come. Rain come. Now, you'll notice all of these passages that we read together. First one has rain in it. The second one in Psalm 133 has the dew of Hermon, or the snow melt of Hermon coming down to the source of Jordan. And the last one is where God is going to pour out a blessing. They all look like liquid blessings. They all look like liquid. And we're going to find out maybe that later on, that in the last one we read in Malachi, well, maybe it's not a liquid blessing. It doesn't matter, it's a blessing just the same. And so, we need to confess our sin. We need to get before God and get ourselves right before God. We aren't going to see anything much in the way of blessing unless we are right before God. Now, I've had to say that to myself this week. I've had to personally, there's no point in me bringing these verses and these chapters to you unless, first of all, I've spoken to myself and asked the Lord to sort that out within me. That's important, isn't it? That would be a cheeky thing to do. That would be a wrong thing to do. That would be a sinful thing to do. For to come before you before I've asked the Lord about this for me personally. And so, confession of sin. Let's think about it. I'm not going to go any further into 1 Kings, but just let's think about it for a second as we sit before the eye of a holy God tonight. The righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and in his presence, that we might understand that if we're not right with him, as an assembly, as individuals, we need to put it right. We need to confess our sin. And then very simply, and we're going to move on now into Psalm 133. And I don't want to spend too long there. Psalm 133 is a lovely psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It's even more beautiful when you read it more, and when you get to understand a wee bit more about what it says. They all get the same thing. They all get the same value from it, from the battle. Now, that tells me something today, that we're not all able to go down into the battle. We're not all able to bear the sword in the same way as we go down to fight the enemy. But some people have to stay by the stuff. And we'll all get a like blessing. We'll all get a like division of the stuff, of the spoil of the battle. We'll all have a share, an equal share. And that's what that word alike means. And it also means together, this word unity. Now, there's an example of that word being used elsewhere in Scripture too. And here's what it says, when Abraham and Lot's herdsmen were looking at the land that they had available to them, these herdsmen, they said, there's not enough room for us here. And they couldn't stay together. And so they went their separate ways, and Lot, as you know, went down onto the well-watered plains, and Abraham stayed up on the mountain. They couldn't stay together. They weren't unified. They weren't a unit. There's another story of Abraham and Isaac, and the same word is used again. And they went up into the mountain that day, and Isaac was going to be sacrificed, or at least that's what Abraham thought was going to happen, originally possible. And it says they went both of them together. They went both of them together. How simple is that to us today?
a simple statement of togetherness. It also means all at once. All at once. And I couldn't find for a long time an example in scripture of where that word all at once was used. And in the book of the prophecy of Hosea, in chapter 11, it's only once used in this term, all at once. And here's what it says, all my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they be called by the prophets, to the Most High, none of them, and that means all at once, none of them would at all exalt him. And they were all united, all at once, in that very same thing, that they would not exalt God. And I thought to myself as I read that, and as it came to me, what a terrible way to be united. And so, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity and to desire the same things and to want to walk in the same way and to have the same arrangements of all the parts for the one purpose. I wonder today if we could just consider the future. If we consider the days that lie before us in the will of God, that we might all desire the same thing. That we might all be together. Just like Abraham and Isaac, they walked and they went, both of them, together. Would it be said of us in the time to come, in the will of God, that the brethren and sisters in Kennedy, well, we all walked together, we all went together. I think that's a worthy desire for each one of us. It's a worthy desire for the people of God in any respect to want to go together, to want to walk in the same way. How good and how pleasant. The benefits are for us all. The benefits are of value to every one of God's people today. And then over to the book of Malachi just for a moment before we come to the end. And the prophet Malachi says some hard things. He says some difficult things for us to do, to understand. First thing that we read together, we broke in at verse 6, and he says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." And we've spoken on things like that before. We've understood that before. The same person, the Lord Jesus, says that he's never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So he says, "I am the Lord, and I change not." And he says something, and it tells me about the grace of God. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And when I read that today, and when I thought about that earlier today, I understood very clearly that every breath of our life that we have today before God is because of his grace and his mercy to us, because of his loving kindness, and because it's his desire that none should perish that we've got here to start with, but also that we remain. And that spoke to me very, very clearly, that if we're not going to head for the blessing of God, if we're not going to desire the things of God, we're not going to try to get onto this pathway personally and as a company,
we can understand clearly what God has to say to us. It's because of the unchanging nature of God that it hasn't consumed us. He hasn't taken us out of it. He hasn't brought us away from it. And there may be the opposite for us to see in days to come. He says, even from the days of your fathers you're gone away from mine ordinances. Now, it's interesting that he should point us back to the days of our fathers, because we often look back to the days of our fathers, don't we, and say it was better in these days. And in many respects it was better in these days. Why was it better in these days? Well, these men maybe lived differently from us. Maybe they did things differently from us. They certainly didn't have as much as us. And they gave more than us, I really believe. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And I thought that was a wonderful promise in the word of God tonight. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now, as I was thinking about that today, yesterday, I was thinking of the word compromise. And I could see myself here, and the Lord here. And he was saying, you return unto me, and I'll return unto you. And we'd meet in the middle somewhere. And I don't believe God is a God of compromise. And he told me that very clearly today. I'm not a God of compromise. And I really believe what God is saying to us and to me . Return unto me, and you'll find I'm just exactly where you left me. Return unto me, and I'll be there where you left me. And so it's not a case of us saying to him, well, okay, if you take a step, then we'll take a step. That's what happens possibly between, the Palestinians and Israel, and between the Iraqis and the Americans and things like that. That's a wee step, and they end up with a compromise in the middle. Our God is not a God of compromise. And he said, I want you to return unto me. And when you get back to where God wants us to be, when we get back to where God wants us to be, we'll find it's still there. And I really believe that's what the Lord is saying to these people in that day through the servant Malachi. Not that we'll come together somewhere in the middle, but you'll find God exactly where you left him. And in the measure that we return, we'll find the more of God. Let's say, you've robbed me. You robbed me. And I found that very hard to take today, these last few days. And I said the same things. Wherein have I robbed you? And we might be able to say to things like, well, how? Who have I robbed you? I've attended the meetings. I've kept the commandments. It may be that these people said something similar. Okay. Because we can always find things to say back to God when he tells us when we're right. And he says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Now, if you were to go around the assemblies today and ask the question, what is the curse of the assemblies today? And the curse is this, we'll move any blessing. That's the curse. Nobody's getting saved in Scotland. Hardly a soul. Never hear about it.
And you're cursed with a curse. Because you robbed me.
Even this whole nation.
But he says this beautiful words.
Bring ye that dies into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. That there might be meat
in my house.
If you read it in another verse, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I would suggest it's a possibly, you know, when it says in the New Testament, when we're talking about the cup in the morning, drink ye all of this. And I was a boy, I used to think, why do we not drink it all? What it really means is, all of ye, drink of this. Bring ye all of you, bring tithes into the storehouse. And that's not what it says. It's actually saying, bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse. But I thought to myself, when I was thinking about it, it's something for us all. It's not just for one or two. It's bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And I looked up that word meat because I didn't know what it meant. And it just means a fragment. Just a fragment. Even as little as a green leaf. That's what it means. And our side of the bargain is very small.
Really?
It's so small. Just a small thing. Bring into the storehouse. And he said, I want you to prove me now. If I'll not just open that window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And so our part of the bargain is so small. I'm not saying to you today that we should be bringing the tithes as in a tenth of them. So, well, that's what it was for these people in these days. The amount, the figure doesn't really matter, I don't think. The point is that we start to bring into the storehouse of God just a little bit of fresh leaf. And he says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Pour you out a blessing. And that word means to the extent that it will be heaped up. And the Lord says himself, and there shall be not room enough to receive it. Now, do we believe that tonight? There's a hall out there. It is possible tonight, if we go in for the things of God in order to receive his blessing on the pathway that's been put simply tonight. I'm not able to give you great particular things on how to cause a pathway to blessing. Very simply, that we confess our sins, that we all go together, and that we give God his place and start to bring into the storehouse. And that hall, and our lives, first of all, our lives will be filled with the blessing of God to the extent that we can't contain it. And I think, you know, when we can't contain the blessing in our own hearts, that's when it'll spill over and the folks outside will see it. Maybe we contain the blessing too easily. Maybe we didn't show the blessing of God in our faces. Maybe the people outside can't see the blessing of God, and so they walk past us in the street and they'll never say anything like that one's different from everybody else. That woman's different from everybody else. We do our lives differently from these people outside. But when we find that and we feel that blessing of God and we start to do what God asks us to do to find that blessing, to get that blessing, then it's going to be a heaped up blessing in our hearts. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a cart of grain. I was thinking about a cart of grain, you know, and the grain gets heaped up on the cart.
and then you start to move it, and it starts to move around a wee bit, and it starts to fall over the sides, and the blessing starts to fall from out within the calf. And that's what our hearts should be like, that we're enjoying God so much, we're enjoying the things of God, we've got ourselves right with God, we've got ourselves right with our brethren and our sisters, and we're giving God his place, and the blessing starts to pour over the top of our hearts. And if the blessing starts to pour over our hearts tonight, wouldn't it be lovely? I think it's possible, you know. I remember very many years ago when I came to Kenway at first, a very simple prayer. God would fill the hall. 25 years have gone past. I've never done it except at a funeral or at a wedding. That's not the kind of blessing. Lovely to see folks filling the hall at a wedding or whatever it might be. But that God might fill that hall with blessing. And blessing. We're doing it for the right reasons. Now, I believe, you know, that it's good to go to other people's meetings and tell them about folks that are getting saved. Eh? And we sort of straighten our ties up and say, well, getting folks in, seeing folks saved. That's the wrong reason, you know. That's the wrong reason. That glory might come to that one above who's given us everything so far, and without him we're nothing. Now we might see the blessing for him, not for us. We're going to enjoy that blessing that he might have the glory and the honour and the blessing. That's simple, not very straight, not very nicely presented, a bit rough and ready. But we're going to get benefit from these three meetings. Let's look for benefit in our hearts from these three meetings as we've come together. Let's get together in prayer. We've prayed tonight. Let's get together so that our prayers are heard above, that our prayers are straight, our prayers are short, our prayers are simple, and our prayers are direct in the ear of God. They may hear us as his people, and that we might receive the blessing. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for the word of truth.